Who here is basically familiar with the law of inertia? Do you want to get up and explain it? 25 words or less? It basically says that a body at rest will remain at rest, no activity until it's acted upon by an outside source. That's all it is. Well, as I look at what's been going on in our country over the last year with COVID, with the riots over the summer and the looting and deaths, and more recently down in Washington, I think we Christians, we Catholics, our church is suffering from the law of inertia. I said last week in my homily that everybody's pointing a finger to everybody else. You're the problem, you're the problem. And I said, we're all the problem. We are all the problem. We are all complicit in the evil that is happening in our world and in our country, in our city. We all are guilty. Why? Because of original sin. We're still affected by it. But as Pharisees, sometimes we want to scapegoat somebody or some group because it makes us feel better. We take the high road. Oh, well, I don't do that. But of course, we're all guilty. But unfortunately, when it comes to what we should be doing as Christians, that's where we give into the law of inertia. We're not really doing what we're called to do. I also mentioned last week that we all have preferred media organizations. Somebody likes CNN, somebody likes Fox. They get their facts from all these organizations who use the facts for their own purposes for whatever reason. And I said the only media source that we Christians should be looking at every single day is the Bible. You've heard of the Bible, anyone? It's the Bible. That's our media source. Still today, it's still the Word of God. You can open it up and it's like turning on a radio or a TV. It's God speaking to us. And what's he saying? Well, I think he would say we're suffering from inertia. We're not doing, living our faith. And if you read the scriptures, you don't see much inertia going on. There's lots of activity. All the time, Old Testament, New Testament, they're traveling 40 days, 40 years. They're going into Jordan. You've got David going out to fight the Philistines. In the New Testament, you got John the Baptist baptizing people. You got Jesus traveling all over Judea and Galilee. Action, 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 things going on. Why? Because certainly Jesus, John the Baptist, and the apostles, and those who were close followers, had a sense of urgency that they couldn't give in to inertia. Just kind of watching things unfold, be like a Monday morning quarterback and complain and judge and criticize. No, Jesus didn't do that. He was always out and about. And we see that both in the reading about Samuel and the reading about Jesus and the followers coming after him, things are happening. So Samuel is called by God. He could have said, oh, I don't know what that is, and kept going back to sleep. But he didn't. He got up, went to Eli, the priest, and said, did you call me? So he's listening. He's willing to get up out of his bed to pursue this voice, and he did. And as we know, Samuel became one of the great, great prophets, one of the great priests of ancient Israel, because he didn't give in to inertia. And then we have Jesus coming along, and the apostles, Andrew, one of them, because of what John says, he points out Jesus and says, that's the Lamb of God. I mean, can you imagine hearing that? And they would have known what that meant, Lamb of God. That's something that everybody was waiting for, the Lamb of God, the sacrificial lamb who would bring triumph and victory to the people. So Andrew and the other apostle could, or follower could have said, well, let's have a discussion about this. What do you think? Who do you think it is? No, they followed Jesus. And they said, where do you live? They followed him to where he lived. And Andrew wasn't content to just say, oh boy, this is great, I'm going to enjoy it. He wanted to get his big brother involved. And so he went to get Peter. And, of course, we know about the call of the other apostles. But that's the Old and New Testament. It's not the law of inertia. It's not just sitting there watching what's going on, reading, watching TV. It's about action, acting on what everybody knew they needed to act on again and again and again. So are we giving in to inertia? Is it easy for us to sit back and complain and criticize and judge? Which, of course, Jesus says, don't. Take the log out of your eye before you try to take the splinter out of your brother's. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. You know, he says, don't judge. But we do. And he says, don't judge, because you're supposed to be getting out there to let other people know about God, so that they will turn away from sin, so they won't be judged at the end of time and go to hell. And that's our call, to go out into the world and make disciples, to follow Jesus, to bring salvation to people. If you do probably most any of the morning offerings, the first thing is we're praying specifically for the salvation of souls. You know, that didn't stop with Jesus. Jesus didn't come along and say, okay, folks, everything's okay. The first words of Jesus in his ministry were the same words that John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. That was his message. It wasn't, it's okay, join my band and you'll be saved. He says, number one, repent, and we got to keep on doing that. But the second thing that as Christians we maybe forget, no, maybe not so much forget, but we have excuses not to do it. You know, I hear it all the time. Oh, I can't do that. I don't have that gift. I can't do X, Y, and Z. And Jesus, he doesn't take that. He's given us the gift so we can fulfill the commission. What's the commission? What's the action? We're supposed to be going out into the world and telling other people about Jesus Christ. Every one of us. Every one of us. And some scholar pointed out that Moses was an introvert. And what did Moses say to God? You know, I can't do that. I can't go to Pharaoh and do that. So what did God do? He linked him up with his brother, Aaron, who was an extrovert. So if you think you're an introvert and you can't go forward and proclaim the gospel, no excuses. We'll find you an extrovert. But again and again, I hear Catholics saying, well, I can't do that. I don't have the knowledge. Do you have a love of God? Do we love Jesus Christ? Do we truly believe he is the way, the truth, and the life? Do we believe he is the Savior? Do we want everyone to be saved? Do we want that? I mean, Scripture's kind of dire. Jesus is very dire when he talks about salvation. I may remember what I said. He's saying most people aren't going to be saved. He says that, not me. So if that's the case, isn't there a sense of urgency that should get us away from that inertia to get out into the world and meet people, talk with them, just listen with them to begin with? Who are you? Where are you from? What are your needs? What are your struggles? And then kind of decide, how can I help? And by helping other people, obviously we're helping ourselves, because we are fulfilling the great commission that Jesus Christ has given us. So, you know, again and again, we can look at what's going on in the world, and this is merely my opinion. I don't think things are going to get better. I think they're going to get worse, because we're giving in to the effects of original sin more and more, and we think we know more and more because of all the media. I remember years ago a friend watched an hour show on the History Channel and suddenly was an expert on the apocryphal Gospels. Yeah, but that's how we think. I saw it on TV. It's got to be true. No. Why don't we get out into the world and find out what truly is out there? Who is out there? Who is waiting for someone to bring them the good news of Jesus Christ? The who is us. We are the who are called to do that, to go out. And Jesus did it with his disciples. He sent them out two by two. He probably linked an introvert with an extrovert, making it easy. And it really is easy if our heart is with Christ, if our heart is that of Christ, if our desire is Christ. then it becomes more and more urgent, more and more simple, more and more necessary that I get away from my comfortable little bubble where I judge others and get out into the world and bring the goodness of Jesus Christ to other people. Because through baptism, every single one of us is an adopted child of God, and we have been given great gifts, great power. Jesus himself said to everyone, to us, you will do the things I've been doing and greater things. Well, are we doing them? Are we healing people, raising people from the dead? But we have that power. We do. We do. Not every one of us per se, but we all have certain charisms. But do we even bother to check them out to find out what they are and then use them, because that's why they're given to us, use them to go out and proclaim the goodness of Christ? Can you imagine the people lining up at our door if they heard that last week Jane Morris was cured of blindness during Mass? Or Jack was on his deathbed with cancer, all gone. Can you imagine people lining up? And God could do that, not just to get people to come here, but rather so that they could find out what's behind that healing, who is the healer, and we know who the healer is. So we can't keep that information to ourselves. We can't play it safe. We can't keep it down and get into that inertia. We have to keep pushing ourselves and one another to get out. Now, that's where we might criticize one another in a good way and challenge one another. You're not doing enough. Or you're doing a great job. Keep it up. Or can I go with you and let's do it together? That's the kind of conversation, prayerful conversations, we should be having as Christians. So we're not just onlookers. We are intimately part of the whole story that continues to unfold in the world, whatever way it goes. We are part of it because we've been called by God, we've responded, we've become his children, we've been given his gifts so that we know who we are and what we're supposed to do. So again, as always, we have to hold ourselves accountable and say, am I doing what Jesus tells me to do? And if not, how am I going to do it? Start small, that's fine, but to do it slowly and surely, get more and more people, just as Jesus got more and more people to follow him, we can do that too. So as God gives us his word today in Scripture, as he gives us his very flesh, which is divine food that helps to make us divine, we're called not just to say, thanks, God, that's wonderful, but now, God, I want to go back out to be recommitted to what began in my baptism and do your bidding. So Peter did that, Andrew did that, John the Baptist did that. We're just like them. We have the same truth. We have the same power of God in our lives, but it's always up to us to say yes and just to do it.